Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin First Half 2012 Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator, and thank you all. Sorry for the short delay, but it's a very crowded conference call today. Welcome to the DiaSorin Quarter Two conference call. I will make a short introduction covering some of the key drivers of our financial performance, and then Mr. De Angelis will take you through the numbers. First, let's discuss about major product lines performance, and let's start from vitamin D. Vitamin D continues its trend of erosion, mainly driven by the market condition in the U.S. However, it is important to understand that the first half of 2011 had two outstanding events that did not replicate after July to 11. First was the surge of vitamin D volumes in the U.S. that reached their peak in June last year, and then to decline sharply in Q3 and then stabilizing afterward. Second event, which is outstanding, was the withdrawal by Roche of their vitamin D in Q3 2010 that affected positively the next two quarters in 2011. Now, taking these events under consideration, in the second quarter of 2012, vitamin D is down at constant exchange rate around 20% versus Q2 of 2011. In the first six months, it's down at constant exchange rate around 18%. However, if we look at vitamin D trends for the last four quarters, we observe a stabilizing trend of vitamin D testing, very visible in the second quarter of 2012, where worldwide revenues for DiaSorin decreased only by 1.8% versus the first quarter of this year. This is very important for everybody to realize. This is the result of two phenomena. First one is that we are getting customers back for vitamin D due to the quality issues of vitamin D products offered by one of the very large competitors that introduced their product last year. Second, there are increasing volumes of vitamin D testing in certain emerging countries, and these volumes are starting to positively affect our mix of sales. Now, let's discuss on non-vitamin D liaison revenue. We're now covering sales of products or under Clea technology, ex vitamin D. The growth associated with these lines has been very strong. In fact, we reached a 12% increase over Q2 of 2011, but I believe more impressively, a 17% growth in quarter two of this year versus the first quarter of this year. The main drivers of the growth have been, on one side, new product lines which have been launched on the LiaisonXcel, starting from last year, and namely hepatitis and HIV products. Second one has been the strong performance of all product lines in emerging countries, mainly Asia Pacific. In Asia Pacific, for example, we see a continuous growth at 40% versus prior year for all the Clea products. This growth is pushed by the increasing demand, but also the success of our infectious disease lines in these emerging economies. Third element of the growth has been the strong success of the LiaisonXcel platform, which was launched in Europe and now the U.S. In quarter two, we installed over 166 systems in all geographies, taking the total installed base of Liaison plus XCell to over 4,500 units worldwide, of which over 330 are LiaisonXcel only. Now, if we look at sales by geography, I would like to make two very short comments. In the U.S., as we have discussed before, the vitamin D trend continues with a price erosion between 15%-20%, and we believe it will continue until the end of the year. And we all know the reason for this, renegotiation of contracts that took place starting from the end of last year and is becoming effective throughout 2012. Testing volume of vitamin in the U.S. is flat to a moderate increase, but fairly immaterial. In Europe, driven by the success of the Liaison Excel, we have seen an acceleration in quarter two with a growth of almost 2% over the last year, but more important, a growth of 4% over Q1 of this year. So the European countries, notwithstanding the very difficult financial situation of Europe, is recovering and is outgrowing the market. In Latin America, the year-on-year comparison, as we have discussed during the last conference call, is still difficult because of a very large ELISA tender in 2011, which ended in Q4 2011. The tender has been reassigned to Diasorin, but the first shipment happened in July. So it will be visible in Q3, but unfortunately it's not in the Q2 numbers. Then last but not least, Asia Pacific is delivering an outstanding growth, which is way over expectation. However, in this region, as we have discussed in the last quarter, the price concession that we granted to Sonic Labs for vitamin D at the end of last year is affecting the 2012 numbers. But it's framed a strategic relationship with this very fast-growing lab that has allowed Diasorin to expand its product offering from vitamin D to other infectious disease products in Australia and in other geographies. Now, finally, we confirmed the launch schedule for the molecular product line, which will happen in Q4 with the introduction of the first product for infectious disease. In early October, we will invite all analysts to attend an event which will be hosted in our molecular facility in Ireland, where we will explain the strategy to penetrate this very exciting market. Now, I will turn then the podium to Mr. De Angelis. He's going to drive me through the numbers, and then we will have the Q&A session. Thank you, Pierluigi.
Thank you. Thank you, Carlo. And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. In the next few minutes, I am going to bring you through the numbers of our 2012 second quarter and first half results. Please, go to slide number 13, where we detail Diasorin income statement, net of Nordiac acquisition effect. In quarter 2, 2012, and the first half of 2012, at constant business base, we register revenue slightly decreasing respect to previous year, and Carlo already commented on the tough comparison with last year, extraordinary elements and the trends we experienced in the second quarter and first half of this year. I just want to remind you once again that considering the sequential growth rate of our sales, our business is clearly improving respect to last few quarters. As far as margins are concerned, the profitability profile has been affected by the huge growth to distributors and instrument sales that typically carry a lower margin. Notwithstanding these elements and the contraction we faced on vitamin D revenues, we maintained a very high level of profitability thanks to the high contribution rate of the rest of Clia products. Gross margin amounted to 78.3 million euros in Q2, equal to 68.3% of the total revenues, bringing to a cumulative gross margin at the end of June of 153 million euros, equal to 69.5%. The EBIT amounts to €38.8 million in Q2 2012, €75.9 million in the first half, equal to margin of respectively 33.9% and 34.5%. As far as the total operating expenses are concerned, in general, it is worth underlining they have been negatively affected by the United States dollar appreciation against the euro in this period. In particular, G&A expenses increased following the reinforcement of the corporate structure, R&D expenses raised to support the development of several new tests that we are going to launch in Europe and in the States this year. The EBITDA amounted to €45.9 million, equal to 40.1% of the total revenues. In Q2 2012, while at June at the 30th, amounted to €90 million for an incidence of 40.9%. The group net result is equal to €24.2 million in Q2 2012 and to €46.6 million in the first half of 2012 as a result of the following elements: €30 million of income taxes, 27 during the first 6 months, equal to a tax rate of 35% in Q2 2012, 37.3 in the first half, that has been affected by withholding tax on dividends paid by the subsidiary of the States. Non-cash financial expenses related to the measurement at fair value of forward contracts, €633,000 in Q2 and €373,000 in the first half of 2012. Fees on factory transaction of €600,000 in Q2 and €1.1 million in the first half of 2012. Now, please, if we can move to slide 14, you can find DiaSorin income statement including Nordion acquisition that differs from the one just commented for the following items: €480,000 of additional revenues, contributing to the gross margin for €282,000, €1.5 million of additional operating expenses, of which €853,000 related to the acquisition process and thus not recovered. Now, if we move to slide 15, then I would like to comment some of key elements of our balance sheet. The total assets available stated as per December 31st level, while the net working capital worsened by €6.4 million for the following reason: higher inventory for €5.4 million, of which €1.6 million related to the Nordiac acquisition. Improvement of payment performance in Spain, where government allocated €35 billion to the public healthcare system, partly offset by the worsening payment terms in other countries. Gianluca's last comment on the net financial position, which improved of €10.4 million, moving from €41.6 million as per December 31st to €52 million as per the end of June 2012. Moving to slide number 16 and talking about our cash flow structure, I would comment the main drivers of the changing in cash. During first half 2012, the group generated €54.9 million of cash from operating activity, higher than the first half of 2011, mainly because of improved net working capital dynamics. Cash used for investing activity amounted to €13.3 million, higher by €1.4 million respect to the last year because of Liaison XL placement. The net cash used in financing activity amounted to €28.3 million, mainly due to dividend payments of €25 million. I would like also to remind you that during the first half of 2012, the group paid 7.6 million euro for the investment in Nordiac acquisition. The net improvement in cash and cash equivalents at the end of the period was 5.7 million euros, bringing the total amount at the end of June 2012 to 69.8 million euros, respect to the 64.1 million euros as per December 2011.
Thank you, Pierluigi. Just one more comment before we move to Q&A that has to do with the full year 2012 guidance. We confirm the guidance which was provided for 2012, which is the revenues in line with 2011 or slightly growing, and EBITDA margin in line with 2011 or slightly below 2011 level. We expect an erosion, as explained, due to the vitamin D effect of 200 base points. And as far as install base, we confirm between 500 and 600 new systems installed as a combination of Liaison and Liaison Excel. Now we will turn to the session of Q&A. Thank you, operator.
Excuse me. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Mr. Andrea Olanau of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thanks for taking my questions. I wanted to focus a bit around margins, if that's okay. It seems to me that you're explaining that the decrease in EBITDA margin is driven more by an expansion into Asia and selling through distributors than it is by a reduction in vitamin D price and sales. Can you clarify if that's the case, and if so, can you segregate where you're getting margins hit by which one of the two in terms of quantity? And then secondarily, I wanted to follow up on a question that I think we talked about last quarter, which is that your gross margins in Q1 managed to stay quite high, and in Q2 they've come down, but they're still reasonably strong. There was some wondering around your inventory, which had gone up significantly, and whether or not possibly some amortization might be being stored in the inventory line out of the gross margin. Could you help us to understand what's happening in inventory, specifically around the breakdown between raw material inventory and finished good inventory? That'd be very helpful. Thank you.
Yes, Andrew, let me just take the question. What has been very visible in quarter two is the fact that we have, let me say, unleashed the Excel to certain distribution countries, namely in certain Eastern European countries, and so far not yet in Asia Pacific. So this has nothing to do with the Excel launch in Asia Pacific, which is scheduled to happen starting from November of 2012. Because of that, we clearly have, if you look at quarter two revenues, the weight of instrument sales is a couple of percentage points heavier than our traditional weight. And again, this is typical when we start installing an install base of Liaison Excel, and then we're going to have a follow-up order of reagents, which will happen starting from quarter three. Because of that, we have a margin. We took a margin erosion in quarter two, which has nothing to do with what we had projected, which is a 200 BP points of erosion, which has to do with vitamin D. So the only the warning we are giving to the community is that do not read too much into the margin erosion for Q2, because some of it is organic / vitamin D. But some of it has to do with a product mix, which happened in quarter two. Now, as far as inventory is concerned, you need to understand that 70% of our inventory has to do with raw material and semi-finished raw material. Whereas the inventory of kits is usually very limited. It does represent no more than 20% of our total inventory. So, to make a long story short, the inventory of finished products, or of kits, did not change materially in the last few quarters. What we have seen has been an increase of the raw material inventory, but for a very simple reason. We have been launching continuously new products over the last few quarters, and every time we launch a product, as part of the launching strategy, we build inventory of raw material with validated, scaled-up processes that should be able to sustain volume surge of that particular product that we expect to come 3, 4, 5 quarters after the launch. And this is to avoid a very expensive process, which would be a revalidation of scale-up processes of manufacturing raw material after launch. So what you see here in the surge of inventory that happened in the last quarters is associated, fortunately, to launch of new products. As you know, in Q1 and Q2, we introduced already 3 products. In Q3, HTLV has been just launched in July, so it's going to be, you will see it starting in Q3 numbers. But more than that, we have launched last year HIV and HCV, that is a very complex product. They require lots of biologicals, and this is what you find in the inventory today.
Great, and then just one follow-up on vitamin D. Could you indicate to us where it now stands as a percentage of sales and where you expect for it to stand maybe at the end of 2012 and the end of 2013?
I think it stands, today didn't do the calculation, and the problem is that I should do it at a constant exchange rate because of the, clearly it is affected, although the U.S. portion of it is affected by the dollar, but I would say that it should be around 30% of total revenues, no more. Where is it going to be? Clearly it's going to be diluted as an effect of growth of other lines and the decrease of vitamin D revenues.
And then because of effects, it may look more like 33-34% at the moment, yes?
Constant exchange rate, probably, but I would say south of that.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Romain Zana of Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. 3 questions, if I may. The first one on vitamin D. I think you mentioned earlier that Siemens only had a 10% impact on your market share and volume so far, while the bulk has been secured through multi-year agreements. So first, do you expect any impact on your market share and volume from the imminent launch of Roche test in the U.S.? And if yes, is it already included in your full year guidance? And secondly, on pricing, do your multi-year agreements contract with big labs such as Cardinal, LabCorp, etc., are based on a fixed price, or do your customers still have room for further discount negotiations? Secondly, on the Nordiag profitability, I was wondering if you could give us more details about the level of growth and EBIT margin, and maybe an idea of what would be a fair assumption of the 2012 gross margin for the group, including the Nordiag acquisition. And the last question is more technical. I mean, just a clarification on the past CLIA quarterly figures. In today's press release, it is reported that CLIA accounted for around 68% of Q2 11 sales, while in Q2 11 press release it was accounting for 74% of sales. So it is not very clear to me in what extent I'm missing a different scope of consolidation. So if you can just help me on this. Thank you.
Okay. Let me, on the last question, you caught me, you're catching me a little bit off guard. What could have happened is that the weight of instruments, which is not, which goes under other, so it's not clear, as again, skewed the number. But I need to get back to you on this one because I really don't have the data handy. As far as, trailing back to your questions, NORDIAG and the gross margin, I'm not really ready as we speak to discuss about margins for a very simple reason. We have just shut down the plant in Norway. We are moving and we sever out all employees with the exception of the research and development. We are moving everything to our Irish plant. All the manufacturing lines are under validation and supposed to be up and running starting from September. At that point, we will have much better visibility on costing and manufacturing associated with that. More than a gut feeling, but my expectation is that we are not going to have a dilution of margin coming from NORDIAG. Okay? As far as vitamin D and Roche are concerned, 80% of our contract have been renegotiated, have been, because of the Siemens effect and pricing, have been taken to the new price reality. Roche just launched the product. We've been facing Roche in several different geographies. Roche has never come to the market with an aggressive pricing as Siemens did. We have better visibility now on the product, and we may understand why Siemens took that route at that point. But I'm not going to make any comment on Roche and the U.S. situation until we see them hitting the market and the strategy. The comment I can make is that I don't think that this will have an impact in 2012. So our guidance, yes, we already had some forecasts in our numbers, assuming Roche approval, I don't think it will affect the 2012 numbers.
Would you consider that the Roche test is more competitive than the Siemens one, or is it still too early to say?
As said, I'm not really ready to discuss about fortunes or misfortunes of competitors. So let's wait and see. The U.S. market is a very competitive market. When you get to the U.S. market, you get into the lion den because you have big labs with millions of tests per year, and we have been there for now many, many years. We have redeveloped vitamin D three times. In fact, we went through three different 510Ks in order to optimize our vitamin D for the U.S. and U.S. population. And I think other competitors understood getting there how challenging that market is. So we will see how it goes.
And just very, very quick question. Just can you confirm that the EBIT margin guidance for the full year, we are speaking about adjusted EBIT margin now, not that you have some non-recurring impact?
We are keeping NORDIAG out for the sake of clarity.
Okay.
And so we're talking about a comparable business condition. Keep in mind, as I said, NORDIAG is a fairly immaterial addition to the business. From a financial point of view, it is strategic for other reasons. This quarter, the majority of the negative EBIT contribution has to do, as Pierluigi said, by non-recurring costs associated with severing people and closing plants.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Roman.
The next question is from Peter Welford of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my questions. I've got two left. Firstly, I wonder whether or not you're willing yet to talk about the impact of the U.S. medical device tax and whether or not you've yet had time to run through your numbers for next year in terms of what sort of impact you think that could have on your business. And then secondly, could I just confirm the revenue target of flat to modest 2% growth? Should we assume that obviously does not reflect either Nordiag, as you said, or the favorable foreign exchange? This is an underlying 2% growth for Diasorin. Can we just confirm that, please? Thank you.
Okay, the first one that has to do with the medical device tax, to be honest with you, I'm not really ready to discuss about next year numbers. What we know is that we will take a hit very clearly on our U.S. Revenues, and then as soon as we will have visibility on our U.S. budget, we usually happens year-end, we will be able to better comment on this. Also, it is fairly complicated, though, because you need to look on one side on a fact, which is you will be paying taxes on revenues, but the underlying assumption of the U.S. government is that 40 million potential patients are brought to the table. So now, I think the big assumption you need to make here is what would be the positive impact on volume versus the negative impact on the taxation. And it's a little bit too early, in my opinion, to discuss this one in an educated way. The second question was... The 2012 revenue guidance, yes, is the revenue guidance is ex Nordiag, so that has to be taken out. And it is at a constant exchange rate as we have provided it at the beginning.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mathieu Chabert of Bryan Garnier. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions from my side. First, can you give us some details about the profitability levels for ClearTest X vitamin D, and as well as the level you are targeting for molecular line of products? And secondly, could you confirm that you are still planning to introduce vitamin D in Q4 in Japan, and do you still plan to make perhaps an acquisition or a JV like your DT in India in that region? Thanks.
As far as profitability of other clear lines, as we said, and as I believe the numbers are showing, we have, let me say, between the most profitable test of clear and the least profitable, which would be a main, me too mainstream product like a cancer marker, for example, the difference in standard margin is no more than 10 percentage points. Very clearly, we are launching lots of specialty products these days, and these specialty products really are on the upper range of margin, very similar or equivalent to vitamin D. This is the question in terms of the mix. As far as Japan is concerned, from what we know today, but we are in the hands of the Japanese bureaucracy, we expect to get the approval in 2012. Okay, we are installing the Liaison XL in a couple of big lab chains in Japan during August, getting ready as soon as the approval is received to start to allow these labs to provide vitamin D testing in Japan. As far as acquisitions are concerned, I can give you a very generic statement. As we have shown in the past, we do have an active program to bring more assets in terms of technology as Nordiag or in terms of product lines as we did with Murex. And whenever we find a reasonable target, we are going to invest shareholder money in order to increase the value for this company. I don't think I'm ready to disclose anything more than this.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Martin Wales of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes?
Hi. question on the US. Obviously, you have a whole bunch of product launches planned in Q4. Do you think you'll be able to reverse the revenue decline in the US in 2013, given that obviously vitamin D pricing hopefully isn't going to get much worse in 13 from where we are in 12?
You're referring to the program we've discussed where we want to bring, we would like to bring the total number of US products from the total of, I think we have 25-ish products approved to around 50. It will be initiated a registration crash program on the Liaison Excel where we expect the first product to hit the market in the Q4 and then the rollout in Q1. So the intention of these products clearly is to leverage on the existing install base of Liaison Excel and Liaison installed in the U.S. and anchoring the vitamin D business. From a price perspective, Martin, unfortunately, the cage has been opened and the price has been already renegotiated. I think that what this can do is it can allow us to go more on the periphery and get customers at the hospital level that today are doing send-outs and convince them to take the Liaison Excel box with more products. This is the only thing I can foresee going forward in the U.S.
Okay. And can you say anything more about what's driving the growth in Asia Pacific, given that clearly it isn't a distributor selling Excel yet?
It's all to do with Liaison growth with the product lines, mainly specialty infectious disease and routine testing for oncology and endocrinology in China. That is the main driver. We position the company in Asia Pacific as a supplier of infectious disease products. And this has been, as you know, we have a very successful, we run a very successful program in Europe first with market shares of 25-30%. We are replicating the same model in Asia Pacific. And very successfully, because thanks to the Nurex acquisition, we had established a critical mass with distributors and direct presence in Asia Pacific, and now is allowing us to accelerate the placement of Liaisons in the region. Keep in mind that China alone, we have now an excess of 350 systems. We're probably going to get over 400 systems installed by year end, and we're going through registration of the Excel, and we are launching the Excel in China by year end. Probably it's going to be the first week of December. There is an event with all the Chinese customers to launch the Excel. Again, I think we are replicating in China the success of our traditional lines that happened in Europe when we launched the Liaison in early 2000.
Okay, and just finally, very quickly on Nordiag. Now you've actually own it and you're sorting out the manufacturing, how much time is it going to take to drive the revenues from the existing business to the level that you indicated when you did the deal?
So you're breaking up. How much time will it take to
take the revenues up from Nordiag such that the business is profitable, as you planned to do when you acquired the business? And have there been any surprises, good or bad, there?
I think you will see a positive impact starting from 2013. Remember that as far as Nordiag is concerned, we have a tactical opportunity and a strategic one. The strategic opportunity clearly is to position the extraction along with our lamp products. So we'll be able to offer a full package to customers driven by the lamp content. However, there is a tactical opportunity which has to do with the extraction business per se, which is the one that was pursued by Nordiag. They had 3-4 million of business. We have streamlined their distribution network. We have opened different channels. So we will never become the next Qiagen. That is not our intent, but clearly this market, which is estimated to be worldwide in the 500 to 600 million euro range, would allow us statically to get a few millions of additional revenues, but we will see it in 2013. From a margin perspective, as I said, I believe that the overall contribution to our EBITDA level will not be dilutive vis-a-vis our current programs.
Okay, thanks very much.
The next question is a follow-up from Andrew Olanow of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking another couple of questions. Just wanted to follow up one on profitability and ask, well, I know you don't like to give segment disclosure, could you give us a sense of what the trend of the CLIA division's profitability looks like? And that is to say, is the underlying growth in CLIA X vitamin D enough to sustain the margin hits on the vitamin D side of it, firstly? And then secondly, with Roche going into the U.S. market, Roche tends to have more of a presence in the sort of mid-range lab market. So while Siemens went and they tried to hit price hard on the big guys, you may see Roche aggressing the mid-range players where you have very high prices. How are you thinking about that strategically? Thanks.
Yeah, let me start from the vitamin D question. I don't think that the problem has necessarily to do with the fact that we are heavily present in mid-size range labs. I think that Roche is a very powerful marketing organization, and they have a certain install base of systems in the U.S., and they, as it happened in other geographies, are a very heavy and savvy send-out chaser. So what you could see is a volume impact because of the send-out. Keep in mind, however, that if you look at the vitamin D market in the U.S., let me say that you estimate the vitamin D market around 40 million tests, give or take. One of the biggest, the beneficiary of send-out today are the big labs. So Quest and LabCorp. Now, as far as LabCorp is concerned, 75% of their vitamin D testing comes directly from physicians, and only 25% is lab-to-lab business. So that business is very difficult to intercept as a diagnostic company because it comes directly from physicians. So there's not a lab sending out where you can place a system. As far as Quest is concerned, my understanding is that the business is different, so they have a lot of send-out coming from small and mid-sized labs. So I expect that if they go for a send-out practice, there is plenty of volume. And I believe, my personal estimation is that Quest alone, as far as volumes are concerned, probably is today testing around 25% of total vitamin D testing in the U.S. Again, the number was never disclosed, but typically this is what you would expect from Quest. So I expect, to make a long story short, Roche to be able to go after a lot of send-out that is going in the big labs direction. And that would be, in my opinion, the first effect that we would see starting from next year, because it takes time for them to set up customers, set up labs, and so forth. Now, the first question is profitability of CLIA. The profitability of our CLIA line is, as I said, on average is good. Very clearly, vitamin D is one of the assays that sits on the upper range of our profitability products. And because of that, we would see an erosion, but the erosion, as said, is fairly moderate, as we have seen so far. and it can be counterbalanced partly by the rest of the clear line.
Okay, thanks a lot.
The next question is from Luigi De Bellis of Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you to take my question. Just a follow-up on vitamin D market. How much today your feeling about the vitamin D market price in US are higher than a routine generic test for US market? Thank you.
Sorry, can you just repeat the question because the line is very noisy.
Sure. How much today the vitamin D market prices in US are higher than a routine generic test?
I honestly don't know how to answer, to be honest with you, because it depends on the definition of routine. If it is a clinical chemistry assay, it's a gazillion times, because it goes by cents per test. If you talk about immunoassays and you go by very high routine testing, like, for example, a TSH product, it would be probably three times higher. If you now go into an infectious disease product line, which is where the reimbursement is better, so the price is higher, is probably 20-30% higher. If you go to certain endocrinology specialties, it's 30% lower.
Perfect. So, thank you. It's efficient. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from David Robinson of DSP. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I just had a quick question regarding the high level of equipment in the revenue, which you said had impacted the margin. Looking at the number of installations in the quarter, it was a bit higher, but, I mean, not hugely. So I think it went from 150 to 163. So could you just explain why the impact was so much bigger than the first quarter or indeed the fourth quarter when you delivered about 13 more machines?
Because is the difference between two effects. First one is that don't forget that we have we provide always the net number of a system, which is a combination of system we install or sell and a system that we take off the market. Okay, and therefore the number of systems that we sell can be higher proportionally.
Right.
The number. Second thing is that, as said, in this quarter, the proportion of systems that were sold versus placed is higher than what we have seen in the previous quarter.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Elisa Corgi of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my questions. Well, just one, really. Can you comment about your joint venture in India, about your project in this country? Thanks.
Yes, thank you, Elisa. Yes, as said, there are two geographies where Diasorin is not present. One is Japan and the other one is India. And starting from our, let me say, few quarters ago, we said that strategically the merging, we wanted to continue geographic expansion in these geographies through joint ventures or acquisitions. For India, the opportunity was provided by setting up a commercial JV with this group. Trivitron is a local, is an Indian company that does commercialize products in the medical device area, as well as diagnostic. They have also joint ventures with several other European and American groups. In this case, the deal is very simple. The assets that we provide are products, so Liaison Excel and all the products we want to launch. the asset that they provide is a very sophisticated network of warehouses and facilities that are strategically placed throughout India. As you have seen in the last few days, India is a difficult place to do business, difficult place to guarantee storage and transportation at 4 degrees. And so in order to be successful, it is key that you find a partner that has warehouses at 4 degrees located in all the country. And this is what the partner is providing us with. JV is 51-49. We clearly control the strategy, and we have an option long-term if we want to buy back the Indian partner and then continue as a fully owned independent ISR entity.
Thanks. Mr. Rosa, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, operator, thanks a lot.